welcome back to the Feel Better Faster Breakup Podcast. This is the spot where you can gain insight to help you get through this challenging time in your life. And if it's not for you, share this with a friend. But yeah, there's a lot of valuable tips. And, you know, even as the breakup pain seems to subside and go away, there's a lot of other powerful things that we're going to be talking about in here that just really help develop that self-love and that place of being able to nurture our next relationships. Our guest today is Vicky Falcone, and she is a specialist in this realm of all things relationship. She is a conscious relationship coach, speaker, and author, and she works with people who want to improve their relationships with themselves and others, and she focuses on all kinds of different realms. You know, really, she's been studying this for years and years, and when I had the chance to sit down with her, I was just blown away, and I could feel the power of what she's saying. So I know that you guys are going to get a lot from this. I've got we had such a long, big conversation that I had to split it up into two. So I'm going to release part one today and share it with you, but I think you're going to gain a lot of powerful insights and just gather some really cool tricks that can help you with whatever stage you are in this process. And so yeah, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in and enjoy this interview with Vicky Falcone. Hello and welcome to the Feel Better Faster Breakup Podcast. My name is Leon Schatz, and today we have an extraordinary guest, Vicky Falcone, who's going to enlighten us with all kinds of beautiful tips on how we can feel better faster. So welcome. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here, Leon.
Awesome. And so you've got all kinds of gifts that you share with people, and you do this professionally. And that's a big part of why I'm so excited about sharing this with our guests, is because this is, you know, sometimes we need professional help to intervene. And so thank you for bringing your expertise.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so today we're going to talk about some of the things not to do, and one of the things that you talk about in your workshop is don't go pain shopping, which I think is such a really important thing that we tend to find what we look for in life. And so can you just explain that? What does that mean?
Pain shopping is one of those things that doesn't need a lot of explanation, I find, when I bring it up with people I'm working with. Pain shopping is the practice of going and looking for things, especially about your ex, that you know will cause you pain.
Yes.
Right.
And so what are a couple of examples? Like, obviously, Facebook, any of that, social media, but even, and this, I mean, for me, I made the mistake once. Only once. I needed to drive by the house, and it was horrifically painful to see, you know, someone else there parked in my space. It's not a fun place to be. And it's like, and one thing that we had talked about, you can't unsee those things. And that's so powerful. What is it that actually makes us think that that's going to help? Maybe that can help us not do it.
I don't know that anyone thinks it's going to help, but it's kind of an obsessive behavior that happens when we get, you know, it's a little traumatizing. I mean, some breakups are very traumatizing and some are more moderately traumatizing, but it's traumatizing. And we sort of reach for things that are not always helpful and for our highest good. And I don't know what people are thinking they're going to find, but they, I guess on some level, people think it'll be a relief or bring some completion. That's what people say to me. They're like, well, I needed to know, or I wanted to have completion, or I thought I would feel better if I saw. And some people go pain shopping because they can't, they need help in understanding it's over, done.
Oh, yeah.
And boy, does pain shopping help with that. But
yes.
There's more soft and soft, gentle ways to do that. So people do it for all kinds of reasons, but it's never, ever have I seen it be helpful.
Yeah. Okay, so what are some ways, tips and tricks to not pain shop,
And then to not even have the desire to paint shop. Like, what are some ways that we can help our listeners do that?
Yeah. Well, to not paint shop, first of all, I mean, I think awareness is, well, I know that awareness is a really powerful first step to change anything. I mean, if you're, you know, learning how to dribble a basketball and your coach says, oh, hey, don't do that. Don't use your palm. I mean, just to give it, it's like you've got to have awareness that you're doing something to change it. So awareness and knowing that it is paint shopping and lean, let's call it what it is, first of all. So if you're there with a pint of Ben and Jerry's and it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you're going through the Instagram account of your now ex-boyfriend's new love, that's paint shopping. So let's be aware, let's call it what it is. And one of my favorite really simple things to do is to turn your attention inward and really just check in with yourself as a first step about what am I feeling right now? Really direct, what do I want? What am I feeling that I'm trying to get met with this? Just slow it down a bit.
And so, and how does that process work? Like you look inside yourself, say, what am I feeling? And it's, and then, so like somebody says, oh, well, I'm feeling lonely and rejected, and that's why I'm doing that. How can they take that kind of awareness and do a productive thing with
it? Well, great. That's a great question. One of my favorite things that I offer the people I work with is some, so then, you know, you want to process the feeling instead of stuff it or spew it or make it bigger
or turn it into something.
I mean, there's all kinds of things people do that are unhelpful. Eating that pint of Ben and Jerry's, okay, if you do that for a couple weeks, fine. But if you're doing it every night for 6 months, that's a problem. Drugs, alcohol, shopping, there's all kinds of unhelpful things that we can do to soothe ourselves. So you're triggered. What can you do? You know, it's paint, you're aware of pain shopping. Get out the pen and paper and process those emotions instead of spew them all over your mom or your girlfriend again for the 108th time. And so what that looks like is you write at all your thoughts and feelings down on a piece of paper. Set a timer for 10 minutes minimum. And then very, very, very important, after you're done, burn it.
Oh, nice. And carefully.
Be all precautions if you're in an apartment
disclaimer for safety.
Absolutely.
But I love, and that's powerful to release that and just really, but to get it down.
Yeah.
And for me, it was a really helpful thing to because in our minds, as we think these thoughts, they sometimes don't close a loop and they just keep going over and over. But when you write them down, they somehow get resolved. And it's such a powerful thing. And so I'm glad you said that, to write it down. That's a really good tool for people.
When you speak a powerful truth, when you write it down, you get it gets resolved. And now with purge writing, which is what I call this, you don't read it over, which is slightly different than journaling. Journaling can be very helpful too, using writing in a different way to get your thoughts out of your head and down on the piece of paper. But this is more getting your feelings out.
Right.
And gone, you know, to really move through them so we don't get stuck in them.
Oh, yeah. Cool. And that's powerful, too, to know that whatever we write, nobody's ever going to read it because we know we're going to destroy it. So we can write anything at all and just really be truthfully honest with that feeling and get it out there.
Yes.
And that's, I feel like that's a good way to, and to distract ourselves, which is another one of your beautiful techniques. We distract ourselves from that thing that would have been a bad pain shop. And so this is great. Any other tips on pain shopping? How to just like really avoid that? Because I feel like this is one of the major things that we have a tendency. And it's like, I really feel that whatever we focus our attention on is what our energy is going to go towards. And if we keep looking for that something. And so it really does tie right in with distractions. And maybe that you've got some tips on good ways to distract ourselves.
Sure. There's healthier ways of distraction, obviously, and unhealthy. But you brought up something really important. You said, what do you do when I want to go paint shopping? Well, I love to talk about distraction.
Oh, great.
But one conversation to be in with yourself is to start to catch yourself as you do it. I even tell people it can be too much to ask people to stop. But because we're humans and we get in patterns, But a powerful question to ask yourself just before you log on to their Facebook or Instagram or whatever it is, drive by their house, is to really stop for a moment and say, what is it that I want right now? What am I wanting? And again, that so that's turning, you know, it's turning it inside about, okay, I'm getting ready to do this, but what is it that I'm hoping to get out of it? What's my end game? So it, just pausing and doing that can change. Remember, records are back now. Remember records? You put the needle down it plays the groove all the way to the end of the record. And it's like taking that needle and scratching it across the record by doing it a little bit differently next time. Because it's too... It can be hard to just say, you know what, stop doing that. Because we're creatures of habit, we're going to do it. But if you change it up a little bit and say, okay, go ahead and paint shop.
Okay.
But next time you do, sister, I want you to ask yourself and answer the question to yourself. Ideally, write it down for yourself in a journal or in your phone. Or what is it that I'm hoping to get? Okay, now go ahead, paint shop. And then they'll come back and sit with me the next time and say, what is it that you're hoping to get? And did you get it?
Yeah.
And then we can make incremental progress. So I just want to say that and slow it down for and not have people beat themselves up. So don't beat yourself up if you're doing this, but
That's so important.
Yeah.
Because then we compound the
you
pain.
You compound the pain. Don't beat yourself up for anything you're doing.
It's so easy to spiral down, you know, and that's something too, if there's, you know, any insights on how to change that spiral from down to up. And this is a really big piece of it.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting how that one moment to just ask yourself, what am I hoping to get out of it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really nice way to apply the brakes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that you're just not accelerating down.
Exactly.
So that's, I mean, it's a huge, huge piece, even though it seems like just that one moment. 10 minutes of your life can change everything.
Yeah, definitely. That's great. And then, right, don't beat yourself up. So if you're gonna go do it, at least don't call yourself a loser. When you're done, it's like, oh my God, I'm such a loser.
Yeah. So then you have to go through the pain and then
your judgment of yourself. So don't compound it.
Yes. Powerful stuff. This is great. Any other?
Well, you said distraction. So I like distraction. You know, I like distraction for this because at least being conscious about our distraction. Now, I joke, I've shared with you before that I trained myself to watch kitten videos. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
But it's actually sort of true.
Yeah.
Because like you've got the computer open anyway. You might as well, if you don't do that, then load up your Netflix with all your favorite happy movies that don't involve breakups and, you know, triggering things, violent stuff. So it's like load up with every... I've watched comedy specials.
Comedy was so big for me.
Yeah. Kitten videos. They really do absorb all your senses. So if you're going to open your computer or go on your phone or whatever and do anything, seriously, you can train yourself to go look at something else. You do have choice here.
Yeah.
You do have choice.
That one's big too. There's so many big, just little pieces that are so big.
Yeah.
And I love that, like, it seems like such a simple thing, but at the time, it's not. And it's hard. And that's something that we're, hopefully, if nothing else, listening to this right now, you guys are feeling that there are these little things you can do that just will make a big, big impact. And so, okay, so is there anything else you can think of that you might want to share on ways to not go pain shopping? And we were talking a little bit before about just some of the what not to do. Should we get into that right now?
Well, definitely not pain shopping. Yeah. And, you know, I love not being hard on yourself. Not being pain shopping is a big one. You know, not shutting down your feelings with substances, workaholism, other addictions, gambling, you know, is to, well, I like to ask myself, like, or my clients, what, if you weren't doing this right now with your life, what would you be doing? And it's funny, you were talking about, you had a guest on about creativity, and I can't tell you how many times, this morning I was coaching a woman, and 43 years old, mother of three, and she's going away to a weekend seminar for the first time in her life.
Oh, cool.
And she just kind of, she did something a lot of women, well, a lot of people can do in relationships, where they give too much of themselves. Mm. And they're focused, they're overly focused in someone else. And so I like to have people go actually explore. Again, your computer's open.
Mm. Yeah.
Why don't you go look at what's going to make you come alive?
Mm. That's great. I love that.
Yeah, what, like where, if you, because a lot of people who pain shop,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to call yourself out if you don't want to, but I know it was true for me.
Yeah.
when they were in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
before the breakup happened, they were overly, too much, not healthily focused on the other.
Yeah, yep.
And so it becomes in a process of, for people who have that going on, and it's a kind of codependency,
mm-hmm.
where I'm overly focused and invested in you. Now the relationship ends, and it's way harder because I've got the regular pain of the end of a relationship, and then the excruciating pain of now I am losing the thing that I was overly invested in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. When that's... I mean, for me, it was kind of the same thing. I had focused all this energy towards... Mm-hmm. something that now wasn't there. So what do you do with that energy? Where do you put that focus? And that's another thing that, you know, I guess we should just dive right into, because it feels right to talk about, like, you know, redirecting that love towards ourselves.
Yeah.
And really, you know, like, and that's seems like that's what we need to do as humans is find that way. If we've got that self-love, then we can formulate positive relationships with others, you know. And it's some, I think a lot of times, for me especially, I was young when I got into this long-term relationship, and it really, I don't think I gave myself a fair chance to fall in love with myself first. And so luckily, I feel fortunate at this point, you know, it's after time has passed, you know, it was very painful for a while, and it's still, I go through painful parts, but I'm cherishing the fact that I'm getting to spend this time loving myself and getting to learn about what drives me. What makes me excited? So I get to redirect that energy.
Beautiful.
From all, like, another person to what, okay, how do I fulfill my dreams, not just her dreams? And so, yeah, that's, I think that's a powerful tip as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that can be, you know, there's a lot of memes out there and a lot of people saying, you know, gotta love yourself first,
yeah.
self-love. And a lot of people don't necessarily understand how to do that, but it's an extremely important journey and one that I took. I thought I had liked myself pretty good, and then I went through my divorce from my first husband. It's like, wow, I had a lot to learn and grow in the area of putting my attention back on myself and falling in love with myself.
Yeah, I had a friend who actually suggested that to go buy yourself flowers, and I was like, what? Like, he's like, yeah, that's something, like, part of the pleasure of, like, because I would love to buy flowers for, you know, my ex, like, it, and just, like, for occasions. And it's like, why wouldn't I go buy myself some flowers? Because part of that joy was in buying something beautiful for someone. You know, that someone might as well be me. And or to go cook yourself a meal.
Yeah.
Is like a, because you know exactly, it's going to taste way better, you know, because it's for you.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, anyway, that's that's such an important piece of this puzzle.
Yeah.
As we're growing.
Whatever you're waiting for to do that's romantic and beautiful and sensual with your future partner, or whatever you're missing from your old partner, go ahead and do it for yourself.
Yeah.
That can be, by the way, one of the hardest things to do.
Yeah. What do you think is that prevents us from doing that? And maybe if you've got some suggestions on how, if somebody might be struggling with that.
Yeah. Well, boy, what prevents us? The short answer is, and I, what I found in the people I work with, is that most of us are, it really comes from childhood wounding. That most of us are not raised by ideal parents who knew how to completely love us, accept us, fulfill us, and meet our wants and needs, right?
Yeah.
So we come from less than perfect situations.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot, you know, my background is 25 years as a parenting instructor before I became a relationship expert. Yeah, I wrote parenting books and spoke at parenting conventions and did parenting coaching. So that's my background. So when we don't have our needs fully met, we well, we all really, you know, end up as adults with a certain composite of woundedness, of places we were hurt and that we haven't healed. And so until we do that work, we're not going to feel whole. We're not going to feel lovable. Mm-hmm. We're not going to feel deeply desirable and wanted. And so that's the opportunity, you know, that a breakup affords us mm-hmm. is, hey, yeah. here's a chance to show up with yourself differently first.
Yeah.
And then attract a partner at that higher level that you've become with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I read something just the other day about the way we feel about ourselves is the kind of people we will attract to us. And I was just like, yeah, it all kind of reinforces every time you are aware of something new, some new way to look at mm-hmm. at the process, you'll find little clues out in the world, you know, so mm-hmm. it'll reiterate to it till you get it. Yeah. And hopefully you get it at some point.
Exactly.
You're able to just say, okay, cool. Let's just go ahead and try this and yeah. see what happens.
That's a powerful, powerful mm-hmm. truth. And yeah. it's, you know, in my seminars, I spend an entire evening going mm. deeply, deeply into that truth. And that is what you said was, you know, people mirror back to us how we are feeling about ourselves.
Yeah.
There is no person out there that's being emotionally abused or neglected who's deeply in love with themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's yeah, you can see it clearly when you break it down into that realm of like, because you wouldn't allow it. If you really did love yourself, you wouldn't allow yourself to be treated in that
You'd
way.
Have one date with that person and move
You'd
on.
You'd be like, yeah, that's... Yeah. that's
Which and, I did a couple times.
Yeah. Well, and I had a friend who pointed out, you've got to grow your own garden. And it's and once you grow your garden, you've spent all this time working on it. You've cultivated these different plants and flowers and fruits and vegetables. And it's like... it's sustaining you. You've got your garden and it's, and you've even decorated it with lights and it's beautiful. And you're going to know right away if somebody comes into your garden and they start not respecting your garden, mm. that's an easy way to identify. Is this person somebody I want in my garden?
Mm.
You know, are they going to respect the work that I've done yeah. to get to where I am?
Yeah.
And, so it really, and then it just starts to help you develop that next
relationship. I love that metaphor, a garden.
Yeah.
I love the garden metaphor in particular because gardens take a little bit of patience,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You put the seed in
and
you water it.
Yep.
And you don't, and this is what I find when people who are recovering from breakups and they're growing, that they are doing, a lot of people who are brave and courageous are mm-hmm. turning and saying, you know what, let me grow my garden. I love that because you put a seed in and you water it. And my clients will often say to me like, but I'm not changing fast
yeah,
enough.
Yep.
And I'll say, yeah, but that's like getting mad at the seed and saying, you're not growing.
Yeah.
With a seed, we say, hey, you know what? In a few weeks, you know, the strawberries will come up, but it takes longer for this. And I planted wildflower seed that took 2 years to come up in Colorado. So,
wow.
So I love that metaphor, the garden metaphor.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of those things too, like as many times as I got sick of people telling me it's just going to take time, it really is going to take time. But if we plant the right seeds and we cultivate them properly, we can know that growth is happening. We can trust that it is happening.
Yeah.
And if we can get there, even if we don't see it immediately, we can just know, no, I planted this seed. So. Yeah.
Now, time alone won't heal us.
No, exactly. Yeah.
But if you're doing productive things with that time, boy, time and investing in yourself can yield miracles.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't use that term lightly. They can yield miraculous breakthroughs.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, man. There's a lot of juicy nuggets in here. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, let's. Is there anything on this topic you can think of that you... something else you might want to share before we wrap this one up? I've been trying for the listeners. I had a couple people suggest, you know, maybe digestible bites is a good way for these. And I feel like we just covered a lot of really good things. Is there anything else you can think on this topic?
We've been talking about self-love, and I guess I'd like to put something out about that, because people will often say to me, well, you know, how do I love myself? What does that look like?
Yeah.
And so, well, let me ask you a question. Who's one of your favorite people on the planet that you're really close with?
Me.
Yourself?
Yeah.
Great. Who else?
My daughter.
Your daughter? How does she know that you love her?
Probably through the things I do.
What kind of things do you do for her?
I was thinking she knows that I love me.
No, that she knows that I love her.
I'll text her. I'll stay in contact, check in with her, visit her. Try to like be in tune with her desires and randomly send her something that, you know, relates, like an art kit or something. And just trying to, you know, be involved in her life and care about her desires.
Beautiful. So did you hear he just gave you all the recipe, a big part of the recipe for self-love. So think about how does some person in my life know I love them? Well, it's because I say nice things to them. I invest my time in them. Mm. And you even said I pay attention to her desires.
Mm, yeah.
Right? And we were saying that earlier in this segment. We were saying, put your focus on yourself. Yeah. Like, what do I want? What do I need?
Oh, that's big.
Okay. And you said, you basically said you listen to her.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't have to think too hard about this. The things we do. But the point is self-love is a series of actions.
Yeah.
It's actions that you take. That's how people know you love them. So it's saying kind things, investing time, caring about their thoughts and feelings.
Yes. Oh, that's a great exercise to play. Ask somebody how they do it for someone else.
Yeah. How does that person know you love them? Yes. Write it down and turn all that, start to turn it, those action steps on yourself.
Yeah. Cool. I like that. And if you happen to be listening and you've got a friend who maybe needs some of this guidance but isn't quite ready to listen to the podcast, that's an easy step for you to help them, you know, and just say, hey, how do you, you know, show that person that you love them?
Yeah.
Now just turn that towards yourself. That's powerful. Good. Oh, I love it. Yeah. That's good. Do you have any more little
good
magic nuggets?
Well, yeah. Get used to saying, you know, I went to a very powerful talk once by a woman who opened up the talk by saying, if you're going to be I wish I could refer her, but it's been many, many years ago. If you're going to be in relationship with anybody, decide right now today to become an expert at forgiveness. Because everyone trespasses us. And I would really turn, you know, when we're beating ourselves up, turn that forgiveness on yourself. You know, I forgive myself for judging myself, for going on social media and paint shopping. I forgive myself for judging that I'm not enough. That kind of self-talk, if you're going to talk to yourself, let yourself off the hook, because that actually frees up more self-love.
Yeah.
So that's through the back door, you know, self-love, whereas through the front door is listening to yourself and doing nice things for yourself, taking yourself to the gym or to the beach for a walk. Yeah. Just decide to forgive yourself. And if you're going through the middle of a breakup, I guess I'd share one more thing. A really helpful mindset to have is not what did I do wrong? How did I fail? Boy, that's a really popular self-talk. Yeah. Is to change that to what can I learn? How can I grow?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so tough when you're right there in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. But these are all powerful things to really do. Like listen to this, but then, you know, take notes and really ask yourself these questions and exercise these things. Like, what can I do? Like, how can I grow?
Yeah.
So powerful to really just dive in and it's weird. You know, you actually do the work and you will see results. Yeah. And it's not as much work as it might seem like, even though sometimes the motivation is so low when you're going through a heartbreak, you can barely get off the couch or out of bed and you're like, I have to wear clothes today. Really?
Trust me, that's too much.
It's too much. I can't do it. And it's like, but if you can just find one little thing to latch onto and get going, you'll see change.
Yeah.
And growth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have your goal to make a 5% improvement.
Yeah.
That's how it really happens.
Yeah.
You know, people like the idea of sweeping changes and dramatic turnarounds that we see in movies, but how change really sticks and lasts is just 5% at a time.
Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Man, I feel like you've got many, many morsels. so I guess this might be a good place to wrap up, and we can do anything else on this topic about pain shopping or any of the self-love? I think it might be a spot to let's mention how people can get a hold of you.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Well, I'm a relationship coach, so I work with couples and individuals who are looking for love, recovering from breakup, wanting to heal their relationship, and wanting to heal from affairs. Those are some of my specialties. And so they can get me, find me at VickiFalcone.com. So that's VickiE, F like Frank, ALCONE.com.
Awesome. And they can, you know, if they're going through some kind of painful anything, they can reach out to you, set up a time, and you're based here in LA. And maybe just a little bit more about what that process might look like, or maybe one of the workshops.
Sure. I work as a coach, so I work one-on-one with people, and then I do relationship seminars, one-night events, weekend events. What it looks like, you know, I like to give I love coaching because coaching is, I have my master's degree, but I chose coaching because coaching is very much about taking actions. You know, we were talking about that a little bit earlier. Yeah. It's like self-love is not like this idea that you just talk about and swim in and read personal growth quotes. It's love is action, as you did with your daughter. And so I love coaching because the focus is take these actions to make your life better. And so I would love to offer your listeners, I offer people who are motivated to change a complimentary breakthrough your pain coaching session.
That's so cool, yeah.
And a lot of coaches do 20 and 30 minute introductories. That's fine, but I do a 90 minute deep dive.
Nice. Wow.
And I work with people on video conferencing literally around the world. I was on the phone with someone from New Zealand the other day, the United Kingdom.
Wow.
As well as obviously here in LA. So they can come sit with me in LA if they're listening to this. They can video Skype or Zoom video conference, and it works absolutely as effectively as being in person. And so I'm happy to offer your listeners the opportunity to come sit with me. No sales happen in that, no pressure. It's about a deep dive into helping you heal and grow and create a breakthrough and see what's the number one thing you're doing that's holding you back. Powerful. And what's the number one thing that you need to be doing to move you forward.
Awesome. That's so generous and awesome. And I love that you're putting this good energy and light into the world. And it's like, it's such a place that, you know, like if we can just help our brothers and sisters heal from this a little bit faster, that's a beautiful thing. And so I'm so like honored that you're sharing this, and I'm honored that, you know, and grateful that you're sharing that with people, that opportunity. And I really hope, you know, take advantage of this opportunity because it's cool. And, and it's, I think, I mean, based on all my experience with Vicky, you'll get a lot from it. So let's go ahead and wrap up there. And I want to thank you again for being here. This is awesome. And thank you for listening. Have a beautiful, powerful week. Have a, you know, be patient with yourself, love yourself. And I believe in you. You'll get there, and you'll be shining brightly again soon. So have a powerful, powerful time today.